Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Welcome back to the podcast, Alice Living. How are you?
I am good, thank you. It's great to be back. Thank you for having me.
It's so, so nice to see your face. Even over a video call, you are joyously sunshiny. So I have no doubt that these feel-good habits that you're going to share with me are going to be excellent.
Well, I hope so. I did say to you when we started, I was like, I think some of them are going to be fairly obvious. But yeah, like you said, it's all about the reason behind it. So hopefully I'll give you some good rationale as to why I've chosen them.
Yes, and you've been on the show before, but just to refresh everybody's memory, I mean, I see you all the time because I'm always logged into my entire saved feed on my Instagram is just all of your workouts because they are brilliant. And every time anyone messages me and says, what workouts are you doing? I just say, don't ask me, ask Alice. She's qualified and she does brilliant videos. So you are a fitness influencer. Well, I mean, that doesn't really cover it because you're a qualified personal trainer.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, it's so hard to give myself a title. Like, you know, when you sit down at a dinner party and someone's like, what do you do? And I'm like, well, how long have you got? Because there's quite a few things. But I guess my background was in musical theatre. I was a professional dancer. And then I transitioned from that to become a personal trainer. And I guess fitness has always made up like the main body of what I do. And it's my passion and my love. But as well as that, I also run a podcast and I do, I've written 3 books and, do all sorts of other things. So it's kind of a really varied job. But yeah, I would say, I guess a lot of what people will know me for is being a fitness influencer or being a personal trainer on Instagram as such. So yeah, I'm happy to be called that.
You are an ultimate slashy and you are like a lot of people I know who they can't just say, I'm a broadcaster because there's so many layers to it.
Yeah. I know. I actually dread being asked what I do sometimes because I'm like, oh God, I don't quite know how to say. And it also depends on the crowd, you know. If I go to my boyfriend's like finance events, I'm like, I'm an author.
Yeah.
Which is cool because I should just be proud of what I do. But sometimes I'm like, oh God, I don't know what to say.
No, it's a funny one, isn't it? You do have to play for the crowd. It's like when you tweak a CV for whoever you're sending it to.
Exactly.
Right, so I can't wait to get stuck into these. So where are you, because I know you've been very organized as well and you actually have these all written down. So what is your
Well, I'm gonna go more start of the day to the end of the day. I've sort of done it Brilliant. Chronologically throughout the day, and I would say that, like, ultimately these are the things that I genuinely do day to day. So I'm not trying to do like crazy unrealistic things. I just want things that, you know, I actually adhere to every day. And I would say that my number one thing and the thing that makes me a nicer, better person every day is getting a good sleep. I'm actually like really protective of my sleep hours. And I don't sleep in, like, I'm not someone that has lions or anything like that. I have to be in bed early because I usually wake up at about 5:30, 6 o'clock every day. So I need to make sure that I'm getting a solid 7 to 8 hours sleep every night. And if I don't get that, I can feel it. So I think that, like, and I guess that's because of a number of things. We know that sleep is inherently linked to our recovery from exercise. And I'm someone who does a lot of exercise. So for that reason, sleep becomes really important for me because I know that that's one of the key ways in which I can recover from my training and be able to train harder in my next session. But also, I think just generally, like, I love the idea of, like, every day being a fresh start, and that like sleep, just putting everything to bed, wake up the next day and it's like, right, we have a clean slate, let's go again. And I'm not someone that tries to like linger on what happened the day before or the week before or whatever. I'm pretty good at being able to start each day as I mean to go on and kind of have that as a fresh start. So yeah, my number one thing was definitely getting a good night's sleep. And I know that's easier said than done. I know so many people who really struggle. I mean, I have so many clients who really struggle with their sleep. And as soon as we start to tweak their sleep hygiene and get them like getting to bed earlier and stuff, it does make a huge difference. But I think if you have it as a priority and it's something that you try and set as a goal to try and get into bed a little bit earlier, make sure that you are kind of not snoozing your alarm as well. That's a big bugbear that I have. I never ever snooze an alarm. I know. Me and my boyfriend have a big kind of like we have a big like not argument about it, but we sort of he's a big snoozer, so he'll snooze his 3 times, whereas I cannot snooze an alarm. I have to get up straight away. And it's really funny, like in the mornings, I'm always up and ready way before him. But yeah, I think just setting aside like some time to have proper, decent sleep, not being on your phone, not watching TV is what makes me a better person.
Do you have any particular, if you feel yourself getting out of a sleep routine, do you have anything that can get you back in? Like, is it the fact that you make it into a little bit of a nest when you get into bed, or do you have any sleep sprays or particular pajamas that really help?
I honestly, I swear by reading before bed. I think it's the number one way to ease yourself into a good sleep. So I will always I have a stack of books by the side of my bed, and I will just grab whatever I'm reading at the time, and I can genuinely only usually get through about like 10 pages, and then I can feel my eyes going and I go straight to sleep. Like it is really good. I would say the other things as well is like, I think we live in a caffeine-fueled society, and I love a coffee just as much as anyone else. I'm currently drinking one now. But if I find I'm getting to that point where I'm really struggling with my sleep, I'm waking up in the night, that can be an indication of a number of things. That can either be an indication of I'm over-caffeinating during the day, and therefore that's affecting my sleep. So in that case, I try and cut out caffeine a little bit, or just cut myself down to, you know, I'm not saying don't have coffee, because like I said, I love it, but I'll usually then only have like one a day. And then the second thing is also, am I overtraining? So, you know, you and I both exercise, and there are varying thresholds at which you can get to a point where your body is actually struggling to recover from the session before. And we tend to call that overtraining, where you don't quite fully recover. And one of the symptoms of that is actually disruption of sleep. So waking up in the night or struggling to get to sleep because your central nervous system is so wired from your exercising that it actually struggles to bring itself down to that kind of like calmed state where you then would go to sleep. So that's actually something else that I'm really mindful of. If I find that I'm starting to get to a point where I'm struggling to sleep or get to sleep, I think, hang on a second, how much have I trained this week? What have I done? And it's easily done. You know, if you love to exercise and it's a thing that you enjoy, obviously, you know, you want to do it, but there's definitely a point where you can have too much of a good thing. So just being mindful of the symptoms of overtraining and sleep being affected is one of those things.
It's interesting you say that, because you posted about it. I think you reposted, is it Andy Vincent last week?
Yeah.
About overtraining. And I thought, oh, Emma, you've, because in lockdown, there's been no excuse. So I have been weight training 3 days a week for 6 months. And then when I'm not doing that, I go for long walks and I'm doing yoga. And that's why I was saying, listeners, before we started, I've given myself a go slow this week where I'm not, I'm actually not doing any weight training. And then after I read that post and was listening to what you were saying, I actually spoke to Gillian Michaels and then had this long chat with her about intermittent fasting and autophagy and how like you really can get yourself into a place where you actually, the best thing you can do for yourself is just take some days off.
Yeah. Definitely. I mean, like, there are so many things that put stress on our body. And I think stress can be a blessing and a curse. And that's the really important thing. Stress can be great in certain situations, but it can also be really quite damaging in other situations. So it's just being mindful of like the threshold at which you are able to tolerate, and then being aware of the symptoms of, okay, I think I'm doing too much or overstressing my body too much, and really trying to tune into that and recognize when to pull back and when to push.
I don't know if you feel like this, but I feel as though if you do get into bed at the same time every night, it will, within 2 weeks, it will become an automatic body clock. So when you say you don't snooze your alarm, I can completely believe it.
Well, that kind of leads into my next one, which is quite good. But my next one was basically having a morning routine, which I think is so crucial to having a positive day. And I would swear by this. I read a book when I was on tour with Annie, my previous life. But I was on tour with Annie, and I remember being up in Glasgow at the theatre up there, and I was writing my first book. So I was doing like crazy hours trying to get that finished, and then doing 8 to 10 shows a week. So my body was like wrecked and I was exhausted. And I remember reading this book called, it's The Miracle Morning. That's what it's called, The Miracle Morning. And I remember reading this book and it being so game changing for me, in that it was all about like this crucial hour where you get up in the morning and you're not on your phone, and you basically take an hour to like set yourself up for the day with whatever it is that does that for you. And what I found was that like I started to thrive off like being up that little bit earlier than everyone else, when everyone's still asleep, and I get up and I can get myself organized and, you know, set myself up for the day, and know that by the time everyone gets up, I'm ready, I'm on, I'm going. Like I'm, you know, and for me mentally, that just meant that like I felt way more productive during the day. I felt like I could get more done. You know, I didn't feel like, because I was still, you know, getting to bed. I'd finish a show at 10:30, so I'd get to bed by 11, but getting up at like 5:30, 6 o'clock, and just feeling as though I kind of could blitz my day then was the best thing. And since then, it's almost like stuck, you know, I've just become a really good morning person. And you're right, it's all about routine. And I remember reading something by Barack Obama, where he said that he basically, when he was president, he wore the same suit every day, because it kind of reduced the choice of what to wear every day. So he didn't have to worry about what to wear. It was like, I know what I'm wearing every day, so I'm going to wear the same suit every day. And that kind of takes out that decision. And I don't go that far. I mean, I don't wear the same outfit every day. But what I would say is that there are really simple things that I can do to make my morning as stress-free as possible. So that means I pack my bag the night before. I pull out the outfit that I'm going to wear the next day. I make sure that I've got myself organized in terms of, have I got everything that I need for the day? Look at my diary so that I know that what I'm doing the night before, so I know that like where I'm going throughout the day. And then in that hour, it's about me getting up and basically doing the same thing every day. So I get up, I take my probiotics, I wait 10 minutes. Then I have my coffee. I sit and watch the news for like 10 minutes and just see what's going on in the world, check my phone. And then I get myself ready, and I basically do the same thing every morning, whether it's a weekend, whether it's, you know, in the week. And that might sound really obsessive and a bit like crazy, but honestly, it makes me feel so organized, and like just helps me have a really productive day. And that's not to say that I do it at the same time every day, by the way. Like on a weekend, I'll definitely let myself sleep in till about 7, which is the latest I can lie in till, because I'm not someone that can lie in, unfortunately. I take after my mum, but yeah, I'll just do it a little bit later. But yeah, I think morning routine, particularly during the week, means that I just feel good for the rest of the day. I feel organized and I feel as though I kind of have my shit together, basically.
Yeah. And you actually mentioned something there that reminds me of the conversation we had last time you were on, which was talking about anxiety and about being late and then people being angry with you. And I feel like if you are prone to that, actually just like looking at your diary the night before so nothing is a surprise the next day, it means you're future proofing, like to avoid any kind of issue.
Completely. And you know, I've had or I've been with, and actually my boyfriend's pretty much fallen into my way of doing things, which is quite nice. I mean, he's pretty organized in the mornings now as well. And it's nice when we're both in that rhythm. But I remember when we first got together and I'd find it so stressful, because he'd like wake up, like snooze his alarm, wake up at the last moment, and then like grab all his stuff and just be like rushing around. I just think it's such a stressful way to start your day. If you start your day in a chaotic manner, how are you ever going to rein back from that? Because then you're rushing to work, you've got to get on a sweaty tube if you live in London or whatever public transport you have. You're then late, you then get into the office and you're a bit flustered. You know, it has a ricochet effect throughout the day. Whereas if you can just like set that alarm 10 minutes earlier, make sure you're organized each morning, make sure you've got everything set, like it takes out the stress. And going back to that Barack Obama thing, if you can just make as fewer decisions as possible in the morning, so you don't have to think about what you're wearing, you don't have to think about what you're having for breakfast, office. You have to think about what you're going to do when you get up. It becomes a routine. Like, life becomes easier and it's less stressful as a result. And going back to what we were talking about, stress, like, reduce stress where possible.
Yeah, and I think Mark Zuckerberg's talked about it as well. Like, he's famous for wearing the same jeans and T-shirt, and it's all laid out for him so that his decision-making is all focused on his business.
Exactly.
Rather than what smart T-shirt goes with what jeans. I like that. And I'm going to find Miracle Morning listeners. Don't worry, I've got your back. I will put it in the show notes. So that brings...
I can't remember who wrote it, but it's a great book.
I will find it. Don't you worry. It's not Hal Elrod, is it? No.
Oh, it might be. It might be.
I might have it in the other room.
Google. Sorry.
I know. Does that bring us to the middle of the day if we're at habit number three?
We're sort of mid-morning because that's when I usually train. But my third thing is naturally exercise. I couldn't go through this without saying that exercise isn't super duper important. And I think I want to caveat this point with the fact that, like, while weight training is the way that I choose to personally train, and I'm a big fan of it, particularly for women, there is no right or wrong way to exercise. So as long as you're moving your body and you're feeling good doing it, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that you shouldn't do what you want to do in terms of when it comes to exercise. So I am going to talk about strength training particularly. But yeah, I just wanted to caveat that with exercise in whatever manner is going to make you feel good no matter what. So find something that you enjoy is the most important thing, and then go from there.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Sorry, it's...
Is that you?
It is me. Apologies.
That's all right, don't worry.
They've gone now.
Don't stop for the podcast.
No, you don't. Quite right too.
But so exercise is super important to me for a number of reasons, and I think, you know, I've definitely been on a journey with it. I probably started, just as so many people do, wanting to change my body and to lose weight and to feel good. And I did that. And I did feel great for a very short time. But I quickly realized that was such an unfulfilling goal, because I reached my goal body. And then I was like, well, what now? I trained for this, and now what do I do? So quickly I had to look at other ways to motivate myself to exercise, because I knew that it was something that I wanted to continue to do, but I had to look elsewhere. And that's when I really started to appreciate exercise for what it really was, which is, unfortunately, it's been pigeonholed into being something that we only ever approach when we want to change our bodies and to lose weight. But actually it brings so, so many other positive benefits to our life beyond weight loss. And just to name a few, you know, we're talking about improved mental health, reduced signs of depression, things like, particularly in women, which is why I'm so passionate about women who are menopausal or perimenopausal. Lifting weights is really good at keeping that bone health and bone density to kind of reduce the risk of osteoporosis. It's like unbelievable how many reasons there are out there to exercise that go beyond weight loss. But we seem to only see it for that. Mm. And actually, like, that was where I really had that kind of pivot and was like, hang on a second, like, this is an amazing thing. And for me, weight training was the thing that I just felt clicked with me the most. The reason being that I just felt like it was the most progressive form of exercise. I was able to see myself getting physically stronger, and I was able to track myself lifting heavier weights. And really being able to set that as my goal, so that I constantly felt like I was motivated to exercise and to move, because I was like, oh, well, you know, I want to get a PB on this or whatever it is. But I also find that it's the most, as far as I can see, it's the most varied form of training. Like, there are hundreds of thousands of exercises out there that you can do, all of them beneficial for various different reasons. And I guess that's why, you know, I've been training in that way now for 6+ years, and there are still exercises that I come across from that are given to me by my coach, and I'm like, oh god, I've never tried that, or god, I'm rubbish at that, even though I've trained for this long and I'm, you know, relatively strong. You know, he gave me pistol squats in my last program and I was like, oh my god, these are impossible. But there's always something that I can work on, and I love it for that, because there's always an opportunity to feel like a beginner again. Mm. And to feel like I have something new to learn, and I love that about it. But also I am a better person for exercising mentally. You know, we spoke about anxiety earlier. I'm someone that is of an incredibly anxious disposition, I would say, and I have really suffered with anxiety in the past in various different ways and for various different reasons. But I would say that as a constant, and as something that has always been something that I rely on to pull me through difficult periods, I would say exercise is up there. And I just want to say with that as well, like, it's never a cure. And I think people often hail exercise as being this cure for so many things. Exercise isn't a cure, but it's a really important piece of the puzzle when it comes to mental health. And I think it can be a really beneficial piece of the puzzle. So yeah, I really have found it so beneficial for me for so many different reasons. So yeah, that's kind of my number three. And I think, you know, I'm sure that people listening are probably like, oh my God, she's like, she can talk about exercise like she can talk about a person that she loves. But honestly, like, I do feel very passionately about it. And I think, you know, we should all be moving in some way. But I think we need to kind of rip up the rule book of what we were once told by the likes of, you know, Jane Fonda and that kind of, who said, don't lift heavy weights, you'll get bulky and all that kind of stuff. And actually just embrace the fact that just do what makes you happy.
It's really interesting. And in the last year, I always thought that if I wanted to have, as you talked about earlier, my perfect body, my goal body, I had to run, because I was just brought up in that era where runners were lean and what have you. And I had my breast reduction surgery, and running felt really weird after the fact. So I've just been using my body weight, and I've progressed up to various weights. And it's amazing how physically capable you feel. Mm-hmm. And as you say, every 2 months, I do a routine for 2 months, and then I bin it and I start something different so that I don't get, you know, used to it, and my body adapts. And it's so good at the beginning of that to feel like a learner again.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Yeah, definitely. And like, and that never ends, you know. That's like, that's whether you've been training for 20 years or 2 years, you know, there is always that feeling of trying something new or trying a different exercise or doing something in a slightly different way that can make you really have to be humbled and be like, right, well, I need to work on this one, don't I? So that's what I love about it. And, you know, going back to what I said at the start, I'm not saying it's the be all and end all. If you don't enjoy weight training, please don't force yourself to do it. But there are many, many benefits to just lifting some weight in whatever capacity. So yeah, I would definitely recommend it as something to try.
And one of the most important things about weight training is the rest that you have to build in, which brings us back to point one.
Absolutely.
Okay, so what do we have for number four?
So number four is something that I feel very passionately about, in that we've spoken about mental health probably quite a lot today. And so for me, this is one of the things that I do that really helps me to just take a bit of a pressure, to take a bit of pressure off the pressure cooker that is my brain. And it's, I've basically described it as share your problems / discuss your day. So this for me is a really big thing, in terms of when I come home and when my boyfriend comes home, and it's not always with him. Sometimes I'll get on the phone to my mom or one of my friends, but it's kind of just like, having a rundown of your day, particularly if something's happened that you're a little bit stressed about, or if you're worried about something, having a debrief of your day to someone that you know and trust. and just letting a little bit of that steam off is really important for me. I found that when I lived, so at the start of my boyfriend and I's relationship, I lived on my own, and it was always my goal to live on my own. I wanted to have my own flat, and I wanted to move to London and be really independent. And it was great. You know, I did it, and I got the flat, and I definitely felt happy, but I really noticed, like, towards the end of my time living alone, like, the void of just communicating with someone at the end of the day and just being able to even, like, have a chat and just be like, how was your day? What did you do? I really missed that, because I would end up, you know, twiddling my thumbs on my own, just being a bit like, oh, God, like, you know, I never shared my problems. So I would just build and build and build all of this stress and anxiety without ever letting anything off. And it was really interesting when I moved in with my boyfriend. I noticed within like a couple of weeks just the benefit I got of just having someone to talk to in the evening, particularly when I was going through tough times and stuff, just to be able to share that with and be like, oh, I've actually had quite a hard day today. And it doesn't come naturally to me. Like, I'm not a sharer naturally. I don't like to seem as though I have problems, and I'm sure we're all the same. Like, you never like to show a weakness or vulnerability, because it's like, oh God, that feels really uncomfortable. But I think I do have to force myself in some ways to open up a little bit, because I can feel the benefit of it afterwards when I can go to sleep easier and I'm not, you know, lying in bed thinking about a million things that have happened that day. And even just like being able to have a different perspective on stuff, for him to come in or for my mum to come in and be like, oh, do you know what? Have you thought about this, this, and this? And I'd have been like, God, I never thought about it that way. Like, it's so good to have a second voice and a second opinion. And so I'm a big fan of like the day debrief with anyone that you trust, particularly when you've had stressful days, just to kind of decompress and talk about what's happened and just have a bit of a, like I said, letting off of some steam.
That's such a good idea, and it reminds me a little bit of the Kardashians, and when they say the peak and the pit of their day, because that kind of ties it up in a bow, doesn't it? It's like, it's out there now.
Yeah, definitely. Are you gutted that they finished?
I'm gonna be all right.
I'm gonna survive. I've only ever watched the odd episode. I've never really watched it. I mean, I think they're incredible as a brand. I mean, hats off to them. They've been incredibly successful. But yeah, I've never really got into it. Sorry, that's a massive segue. But anyway.
I love reality TV. Like, that's probably my way of debriefing. And actually, it's funny you talk about that, because I've started reading this incredible book all about, if you understand your brain, you can change your life. And it's things like there are lots of different brain types, and none of them are bad or wrong, but if you have a particular brain type, you might be more prone to depression, and you can change it with various things. And this is by people who do various photo imaging of brains. And so they can see, like, if you just give somebody a supplement, how the map of their brain will change over a course of time. And actually, they were talking in there about these negative thoughts and how it's very easy, particularly if you're by yourself, to believe negative thoughts. So if you get to the end of the day and you think, so-and-so was a prat on email, that thing didn't go right, then it just swirls. And actually, it's really useful to just at the end of the day unwrap it by flipping them completely and saying, oh, they were a bit of an idiot on email, but actually, I remember that time we had that really good thing that happened, and just attach something positive to every negative thought you've had.
Definitely. And you're absolutely right. Reality TV is also the perfect escape. And I am not someone who's snobby about it. I love it too. But yeah, you're right. I think just having something to decompress from a day is really important. And have kind of like, I mean, I find this difficult because my job is on social media, it's very hard to have an off switch from that. So I have to be strict to myself to like make sure that I have a definitive end to the day where, you know, rather than just letting myself run into the evening and be answering messages and doing stuff, like to kind of just draw a line and be like, okay, after 8 o'clock or 7 o'clock, or whatever it is, that's the end of my day. I'm done now. And I'm going to sit and I'm going to talk to Paddy and I'm going to watch TV or whatever it is. And that's my decompress. I think that is really important.
Really, really important. And actually, but what I have noticed with you is you will say, actually, I'm not feeling brilliant this week, so I'm going to take it easy. And it was that message you shared on your stories about overtraining that made me look at what I was doing. And I was feeling shattered and I was just continuing on anyway. And if I hadn't seen that post, would I have sort of investigated and taken a bit of a break myself? So it's good as well, I guess, that you are sharing bits of it on social.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, that's the beauty of social media that I love is like, main feed is for like, you know, videos and stuff that looks pretty polished, but like stories are for you to be honest and vulnerable. And I really enjoy sharing that because the content that I relate to most is generally that kind of stuff. I love hearing people's, you know, normal worries and habits. And I love seeing people without makeup on and with their face masks on and with their hair wet and all that kind of stuff. Like, that's the stuff I love because I'm like, oh, everyone's just human and we all have flaws. And well, none of us have flaws in my eyes, but you know what I mean? We all have perceived flaws and things that we're self-conscious about. And yeah, it's nice to see that side of stuff on stories as well and to be able to be honest about stuff.
Agree. That's a strong agree from me. I fight. Yeah, when it's all perfection or when it's all too perfect.
Yes.
I get a bit bored. I'm like, show me the real stuff. Like, I was just watching Sam Chapman this morning. She did a live where she was going through some makeup deliveries and her washing machine was going off in the background. And I just thought that I can get on board with because that's real life. My washing machine's about to stop beeping.
Yeah, I love that. I remember while I was doing a teaching live and my dishwasher like flooded. And I was like, oh my God, this is awful. So stressful. But yeah, it's the realities of life, isn't it? That's what people love to see.
I was going to say yesterday I nearly shared a story because I bought a dishwasher cleaning, you know, one of the ones that you put in on an empty dishwasher just to clean out all the grime. And I was so excited. I nearly did stories and I thought, no, Emma. Oh, I got a job lot. I'll send you the link. Because my dishwasher was getting a bit stinky, Alice, and I was getting very distressed about it. I was like, I've got to do something about this.
Yeah, my boyfriend keeps saying we need to clean our dishwasher. And I'm like, what do you actually clean a dishwasher?
You get these things that you just slot in, do on a hot cycle. It cleans out all the grime.
This is what I need. This is the content that I'm after. How to clean your dishwasher. I mean, I could just pop it on YouTube. I'm sure there'd be loads of great stuff on there. But, you know, thank you. Please do send me the link.
I will. And I was delighted afterwards. I opened the dishwasher afterwards. Oh, isn't that good? So pleased.
Oh, we're getting old.
You really are. It's so bad. You know when you buy microfiber cloths and get excited about that Tupperware?
Yes. I am obsessed with microfiber cloths because, I don't know if you can see in the background, we've got this awesome metal surface, like, oh god, honestly, our kitchen's a little bit needs changing, but they just leave marks everywhere. So my microfiber cloths are my number one favorite thing.
Absolutely. And there was
enough of the adult cleaning chat, because I could tell you about the new bleach that I'm using. No, I'm joking.
But are you serious when you said you've got a new Hoover? And just out of curiosity, is it a Miele?
No, it's not. It's a Dyson. Oh. Have I gone wrong?
No, I love a Miele, but is it one of the cordless ones?
Yes, it's a cordless.
Oh, Alice.
Yes, it's a cordless. It's incredibly nifty around the corner, I would say. And it charges up really quickly. Like, you plug in, it takes like 10 minutes and it's got like loads of charge. And also you can take the head off so you can get in the corners with the, like, you know, on your sofa and stuff. It's great. It really is great.
Yeah. Well, okay.
Not sponsored, by the way.
We're going to have some links to swap by the end of this. Okay. But before we get really stuck into microfiber cloths and hoovering. Yeah. What is it? Where are we ending up?
Actually touched on it earlier, which I loved. My last thing is the number one thing. I know I've basically said that about everything, but I think the number one thing, if I did have to choose from all my five, that makes me feel good is walking. And the reason why I wanted to put walking, basically I wanted to make all of my things free, pretty much. I know exercise can be expensive, but it is essentially free, because I didn't want it to be things that people buy. But I think walking is the most underrated form of exercise ever. And I believe it to be crucial to our physical health. And I feel that strongly about it that I'm like, just, yeah, I could talk about walking for ages. But for me, walking has been the thing that actually during lockdown, I recognize as being way more important than I did before. Because, you know, when you only got that hour a day outside, so I'd do my weight training at home, but I literally looked forward so much to being able to get outside and go for a walk for an hour. It was like the highlight of my day. And the freedom and the headspace that it gives you. You know, I live near the river, so I walk down to the river and I'd walk along the river. Somewhere, so much more. And I think with walking, I think it's actually almost meditative for some, like if you can get to that point where you're just walking, you clear your head, you're trying to just focus on putting one foot in front of the other. I think it really can be quite meditative and calming. And I'm a big believer in trying to fit in some kind of walking into your day. And it doesn't have to be long. You know, one of my clients I was actually chatting to yesterday, like she's still working from home and she's really struggling to get out. So we've just set her a goal of 20 minutes in the morning and 20 minutes in the evening after work. And like, it's not long, maybe like 2 laps around the block or whatever it is, but it just makes such a big difference to how you feel. Just being able to get out, move the blood around the body, just have a bit of a raising of your heart rate, and what that can do for your mind and for your body is amazing. And I think as well, walking is manageable for people. You know, if I told you to go and do a 30-minute HIIT class, 50% of people would say, no, can't be, like, don't want to. And that's fine. Obviously, that's okay. But if you said to someone, go and do a 20-minute walk, I think most people would take you up on it and say, yeah, all right, okay. It's my biggest, most favorite thing to promote to people is get walking, just get outside, move your body. And even if it's only 10 minutes a day, it's better than nothing. So, yeah.
I had Sarah Wilson on the podcast. It was a little bit before I saw you last time, so it might have been, I might have mentioned this last time we spoke, but when you're walking, uh-huh. The part of the brain that switches on anxiety, it's like a failsafe. They can't be on at the same time. If you're walking, your anxious thinking brain can't be, I think it can be switched on, but it can't be switched on in the same way. So it dials down anxiety, just biologically.
Yeah. Amazing. And well, there you go. It definitely helps me with my anxiety.
And I'm going to suggest this to you because I have the same walking route that I do through this park. And if there's no one around, I honestly have to say this. If there's no one around, there's a particular stretch and I check it, but I can just walk in a straight line. If you can do 20 seconds walking with your eyes closed with the same pace, it's such a weird, but actually quite brilliant feeling. I'm just going to have to leave you with that and you'll have to tell me if you try it.
Oh, I thought you were going to say I sing, because I do that all the time. Even when there are people around, if I've got my music in, I'm walking and I'm singing. You know that I'm obsessed with musical theatre. So I'm probably like belting out some like Wicked or something like that. And I forget that there are people around me. But yeah, singing and walking is my favourite thing. But I've never done the eyes closed thing. So that is a new thing. I'll give it a go.
Yeah, you just, even if you just do 10 seconds, but you just sort of almost feel, it's this weird feeling where you almost, because obviously your eyes aren't involved in where you're going, so your senses just seem to switch on in panic mode, but in a really not panicky way. But anyway.
I'll give it a go.
You have to try it and tell me what you think.
I'll leave it the hospital bill when I break my arm. No, I'm joking.
Proceed with caution, Alice. Proceed with caution. And you do, and actually you did some stories recently where you were singing and your voice is incredible.
Well, I mean, I did go to musical theatre school, so I can't take, I mean, it's not like I worked hard for it, but it's like my, in fact, I didn't put singing in here. I probably should have put that as one of my strategies, but I'm obsessed with singing. That was like my thing at college. I just love it so much. And I've never been brave enough to post myself singing. I've only started doing it in the last couple of months, because I just always get really nervous about doing that. Even though I've been in like a musical and whatever, I still get nervous about it, but I find singing to be, and the only time I do it, and this is one I really look forward to, is like my boyfriend's out, the flat's like really quiet, you know, it's probably a Saturday night, so there's loads of people playing music anyway, so if they hear some weird person screeching, it's not going to be too much of a shock. And I just sing in my living room, and I love it. And you know that you can get so many backing tracks now on like YouTube and Spotify and stuff, so yes, I generally find like a musical theatre playlist and just let loose.
There is a brilliant channel on YouTube where they just have piano accompaniments, and they've got the piano accompaniment for This Is Me.
Oh, love.
Which is dangerous because, yeah, I will send you the link to that too. Alice, these have been great feel-good habits. I knew they would be.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah, well, hopefully they're helpful.
They, I'm sure they will be. And I will put the links into the morning, the Miracle Morning. And I will obviously, listeners, put the links to Alice. And I genuinely, wholeheartedly advise you go and look at Alice's feed if you want some good exercise techniques. As I always say to people, it's not just the exercise combinations and the circuits and the routines that you put together, but it's your emphasis on form and really showing how to do an exercise properly to avoid injury, which I think is really important too.
Very much. Very important. Yeah, thank you.
And at the time of recording, I think, is there some exciting stuff in the offing for you that we can mention?
I mean, there is, yes. When's this coming out? Soon.
Yeah, end of September, beginning of October.
Okay, I can't say fully yet, but it's really exciting, and it will be coming out on the 1st of Jan. So
stay tuned.
I'm really excited. Yes. But it's essentially like an obvious next step given everything that I did during lockdown. So hopefully it'll be really helpful for people.
And I will obviously be sharing that with you fully when it all goes live. Alice, yeah, it's been a delight to chat to you. Thank you so much for your time and for sharing your feel good habits.
No, thank you. It's my pleasure. Thank you so much.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.